141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on the first round of post-split fixtures. It's as you were at the top after Celtic and Rangers prioritised points over performance to beat Dundee and St Mirren. Matt O'Reilly, Lawrence Shankland, James Tavernier and Jack Butland make up the shortlist for PFA Scotland's Player of the Year, and Lennon Miller, David Watson, Lyle Cameron and Ross McCausland make up the Young Player shortlist. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna.
Well, it's not just Holyrood where you get drama these days, Gordon. Celtic have to fight for a 2-1 win yesterday. Rangers have to fight for a 2-1 win yesterday. I saw Hearts and Kilmarnock, you couldn't separate them in the push for Europe. Live to fight another day, and we don't have Andy Halliday. He's either in the huff because he's not in the PFA Player of the Year shortlist, or he's after Humza Yousaf's job.
That's actually why Hugh Keevans isn't here tonight. When Andy pulled out, I was going to line up Hugh, but they've got their eyes on him for the top job. They've decided he's the man that could bring the country together. You know, he never says anything that would
a sort of Clyde like, divide Joe
opinion
Biden.
Or something like that. What is it, Sleepy Shug? Would that work?
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about that. I'm just
glad I compared them to Biden and not Biden's predecessor.
We're already straying into topics. I don't think we've got a specialist subject anyway, Kenny Miller. But back to the football. It was quite the weekend.
Yeah, it certainly was. You say as it was at the top of the league. And Roger summed up perfectly. Livingston just staying alive with a massive, massive win against Ross County to give their faint hopes of survival to drag it on another week. Mm-hmm. A dull affair, you must have had a Kilmarnock, I don't know.
I've seen worse nil-nils.
I had goals in that game, to be fair. But I think both St Mirren and Dundee for the big games yesterday can take real credit for the performances. Again, that's clearly why they're in the top six.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. It is Monday night. Not only do we have big games to look back on, big talking points, controversies, we've got the shortlist for Player of the Year and Young Player of the Year. It could barely be a busier Monday night. So get your calls in right now, 0141 951 1025, and tell us what you're thinking. If you work through the talking points, there are loads there. Let's go backwards. Dens Park, Celtic fans back on top. Well, you were always on top, but the 3-point lead restored. James Forrest inspired. Who would have thought it this late into 2024? What did you make of him? Can he maybe get in that Scotland squad? What did you make of the game overall? Is it all about points over performance at this stage of the season? It doesn't feel like either Celtic or Rangers were at their sparkling best yesterday. So what about Paisley as well? Rangers fans, Cyril Desser, he's the man that keeps coming up with the big moments. Is the performance level a worry, or is it all about those 3 points? We had controversial red cards at Pittodrie. Livy live to fight another day. And like we said, that 4-man shortlist for Player of the Year, is it right for you? Would you have had someone else involved? And ultimately, who will win? Out of that four, who is your Player of the Year? Tavernier, Butland, O'Reilly, Shankland. And then the young player, Lennon Miller, David Watson, Lyle Cameron, Ross McCausland. Loads to debate tonight. So we'll start with the weekend's action if we can, but we'll get a good old Player of the Year debate going as well. So 0141 951 1025. Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller will whet your appetite by telling us their result of the weekend first.
I'm going Livy again. That result, I mean, it was such a big win. I mean, you could have forgave them for kind of feeling sorry for themselves and again just dwindling away, but they've put up a fight. Big win against the Ross County team that need the wins as well and the points to get out of that playoff zone. So big result for Livy, keeps them alive.
I'm going to go for Hibernian. They absolutely bossed St Johnstone at McDermott Park and relieved a little bit of the pressure that's on Nick Montgomery.
Goal of the weekend?
Two contenders for me, and I'm just going to edge for Mercondes.
Oh, wow.
The free kick.
It was special, wasn't it?
Proper technique, that. You know, when you see it from behind, how it goes up high and the dip and the accuracy right in the top corner. Top, top free kick.
Because Mitov goes on to play brilliantly, but you could have had three of him in there.
Easily.
And
it was like
not getting near it.
Just that technique to get it up and down and get that dip. Never ever had it in the locker, but clearly Mercondes does.
Roger?
I'll go for James Forrest's first goal. It was an important time of the game for Celtic. You just get to that sort of half hour mark and it could start getting a little bit sticky. And what an inspired finish, an inspired performance. You asked, is he going to the Euros? I think he's going to the Euros, yeah.
and the best possible assist if you're Kyogo, making a mockery of the assist stat. A heavy touch, it pops up and your teammate latches it.
Have you seen any of our men that?
From 22 yards, I like it. Right, what was your, what are we on to Howler. Next? Let's go Howler then.
As always, refereeing matters, red cards. Jack Vale's red card for me is an absolute shambles, and I believe that their Motherwell are appealing it, rightly so. Just again, a pure sign that referees don't understand what's going on in a moment of the game where a player's fully focused on the ball and has no intention of hurting an opponent. He gets a straight red for that. Jack Vale, red card for me.
Yeah, we can debate it at length later. That's a really interesting one, Roger, because I see such a divide. Because yeah, Kenny always, and Kenny admits it, he talks with the old pros hat on. If you get that rule book in front of you and talk about endangering opponents and stuff, you can maybe see why. So it's going to be interesting, that one, but we can debate it later. What about your howler of the weekend?
Sorry, boys, but Zach Heming and James Bolton. They kind of had many more difficult Sundays than that. The first Rangers goal, Heming could have left it go, brought it back in. Bolton knocks it into his own goal. The second Rangers goal, Tavernier's cross, looked as if Heming was going to claim it. He tripped over Bolton, and some will happen, Kenny. even Cyril Dessers had a free hit.
That was incredible, though. Both. I mean, I actually never remembered. I was thinking more for the second one, for the other. I think, oh, that was kind of harsh. When you actually look back, it's the same two players involved in both goals. It was not.
And Bolton can't get anything right, because even when it looks like he's scored, Jack Butland goes and produces a scandalous save.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I don't know if he features your man of the weekend. Anyone, well, top performer?
For me, it was a toss-up between him for the saves that he made, particularly in that first half of the game, or James Forrest. And I'm going for James Forrest. I think the impact that he's had in this last week probably goes to prove Brendan Rodgers' comments are not far away from being right in terms of maybe being the best winger at the club. Very surprised again that he's not had more game time when you see how important he's been over this last week, coming on the semi-final last week. But those two goals, you know, not just the goals, just the way he plays for that position. It's just an experienced player that's really comfortable playing in his position. He knows he can do it well, and what he has done over the years is pop up with some huge goals, and those two yesterday were big goals for Celtic.
A few you could mention, Macondes, you've given the goal to, fantastic. Butland yesterday as well. Will Dennis, really good. I saw him at goal for Kilmarnock at the weekend. Sean Kelly scored a goal, clean sheet for Livy in their big game. I'm going to go for a guy who has impressed me in the last month. You'd never know he's coming to the end of his contract and trying to attract a new deal. Conor Barn at Aberdeen, I thought he was really good against Celtic in the semi-final, and I thought he was really good against Motherwell at the weekend. Aberdeen won't be able to keep him. Jimmy Thelen won't be able to see him next season. He will be somewhere. Did Andy Halliday mention 7 days ago, maybe Rangers? Well, I don't know. Good player.
And that's us. Those are the real awards. Forget all that PFA Player of the Year stuff. Everybody wants to win the Monday night accolades on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. But anyway, 01419511025. That is the number you need to get in touch. Speaking of which, the aforementioned Andy Halliday is currently listening in the dentist. Well, that can't be good. That seriously, I've heard of some strange locations. He's getting his teeth yanked about, he says, and you two are being cruel about him. So there we go.
I'm not being cruel about him.
Roger is.
Well, mate, yeah.
Anyway, 01419511.
He'll come out tonight looking like Jurgen Klopp.
1025. Red rum. Get your thoughts in. Let's look at the weekend's action to kick off, if we can, as you were at the top. Kenny, it's going to say that in the intro, and we'll get a flavour of it from the callers. In fact, let's do Graham quickly before we dwell any more in here. Graham's on the line. How are you, Graham?
I'm good, Gordon, thanks. How are you?
Good. So Rangers' perspective then, it's a win. It keeps you banging it. Is that the priority right now?
It's a priority, aye. But see, yesterday when I was watching the game, I was thinking, I hope we get beat here, because they were that bad in the first half. And I was, I said, if we get beat, it's not so bad going to Celtic get beat, because they've already won the league. But then I watched the Celtic game and I thought, hey, they're not great either. So I was just as glad we won again.
So you snapped out of that ridiculous logic. You can't, how can you want your team to get beat when you're 3 points behind and only five games to go?
Mate, I was so angry with the performance. I'm telling you, I was going to put the boot through the telly. It was horrendous.
I wouldn't recommend it.
I hope we get beat here. And then when I watched Celtic, I went, oh, maybe no. They're not great either. So I was quite happy with that. So I think we can take our chances.
Who am I to tell people how to feel about a title race? I mean, I get it, you can be annoyed at the performance. It all sounds a bit counterproductive to me, but I appreciate I'm maybe being too logical. I take it Graham's answered the point then. Yesterday was all about the result and a lot less about the performance.
I think at this stage it is more about that. I mean, see, when you're in it, and I'm sure, I think Philippe Clement's even out saying today that it is about points, it's about the results at this stage of the season. And it is, because who wants to play well and then drop points, you know? And I think both Rangers and Celtic have probably suffered with those kind of situations over the course of the season. But it was a tough watch again for me. It took me back to the start of Philippe Clement's reign, where the team were winning games, weren't playing particularly good stuff, but they were getting the job done. I don't think, obviously, if in the last kind of five or six league games, the Rangers have not got the job done, and that's what's left them in the position they're in. But yesterday, it was absolutely about getting back to it. No wins in three in terms of the two draws and the loss up in Dingwall. They needed to get back to winning ways in the league, and they've done that. They asked Celtic a question, which Celtic then responded to. But what it does, it means, again, you move on one game closer. It's the exact same as it is. And the games next week won't be any easier either. It's really, really tough when you get to this stage of the season when you're a team or one of the teams that are going for a league title, and you continually need to turn out. You're judged on performance, but ultimately you need to get the 3 points in the bin.
I suppose where Graham and others might be coming from, Rogers, it did have the hallmarks of some of those games that the 3 points weren't picked up in, but of course you get the big moments right. So Jack Butland makes saves, Cyril Dessers scores, but it felt quite familiar right at the start. James Tavernier comes in field, tries to control the ball, gets it robbed off him. It's like, where have we seen this movie before? When Rangers get the winner, St Mirren are actually really comfortable within the game, and you know, Kenny and I were both working there. That you get a feeling, you get a sense of, don't really see Rangers scoring here, but they do. So it's not to take anything away. It maybe just shows the difference between getting the big moments right rather than getting them wrong. The performance level probably wasn't much different.
I think once you get beyond the split, it's all about points and not about performance. Even if you look down south at the weekend, Arsenal were hanging on, weren't they, against Spurs. Man City didn't play particularly well, but won at Forest. Liverpool played really well at spells at West Ham, but didn't win the game. And they've fallen off the pace. It's all about just getting the job done. Rangers got the 3 points. It wasn't, what did Philippe Clement say? Wasn't sexy?
It certainly wasn't.
But, listen, they've got the points. Celtic, for long spells, wasn't particularly sexy either later in the day.
That's but you used up your two uses of that word. Just
for the season, by the way.
Never, just stop saying it like that.
Listen, it's better me saying it than Hugh Keevan saying it.
Just enough, if you don't mind.
Job done for both.
I mean, Graham, I'm going all out on a limb here. It doesn't sound like you've got much confidence that this Ranger team can go on and win the league then.
Well, I have no, if they're watching Celtic later
on. God, what a rollercoaster of emotions you're on.
I know, mate. Bipolar, I think. But I was going to make another point to Kenny, if I can, a wee quick point. Kenny, see, apart from five players, I don't think any Rangers fan would be disappointed if any of the rest of the squad left.
What's your five then, Graham?
Butland, Tav, Diamandi, Stirling and Cantwell. If any of the rest left, I don't think anybody would be too disappointed, mate.
Listen, I tend to agree with you. I think it's... I mean, you'd maybe even take maybe one of them off that list as well. It's
Which one?
For me, I think Campbell's been okay in the last couple of games, but I still think in that position, what you want to see Todd Campbell do is what he done last week at Hearts in the semi-final. To constantly be involved in the game, to constantly be a threat and create and asking questions of a backline. And the problem is, he's just not seen enough of that this season. Listen, he's had injuries, as has Tom Lawrence in that position, but
can't come out second best in a collision with the ref either.
Oh my, it was, you know what, again, but Gogic, who was excellent was again clever. Yesterday, he was so clever. He just eased Cantwell into the back of the referee so he wouldn't get the free kick against him. But you know, no, I agree with you, Graham. I think that's there is going to be a lot of kind of comings and goings, I would think, at Ibrox in the summer, and it'll be interesting to see who does survive, because there's no doubt Philippe Clement doesn't mess about. I think he's ruthless when it's going to come down to it. So he'll know right now who he wants to be part of his squad moving into next season, which, depending on how this season turns out, could be a massive one for him and his managerial career as well.
Thank you to Graham. Let's get both sides involved, because I wonder, John Paul, who's on the line, were there similarities this weekend in that it was all about the win and maybe the performance from Celtic wasn't too pretty?
Evening, Gordon, Roger, and Kenny.
Hi, John. Hello,
can I just say I wish I was Andy Hardy dentist, by the way? That would be nah, I like Andy Hardy or something. He's a good pundit, but I wish I was his dentist. I just want to echo what the last caller said. You know, I get that 3 points are 3 points, but I think right now is the worst I have seen the two teams together in a very long time. Normally, over the last couple of years, obviously, my team's been a wee bit better under Rodgers. His first spell, we were brilliant. You know, Ange came in, we were brilliant. And Rangers weren't that great. The Rangers still aren't that great. But the only thing is, Celtic isn't as good as they used to be either. You know, it's so, they've went back the way so, so much. And it just proves that the signings we made, the wingers that we signed, Peel away, nowhere to be seen. Kuhn, no up to the standard. Palmer, not up to the standard. We're bringing on James Forrest, who's been there, done it. Yes, James Forrest's a fantastic player, but he's getting on. He's still our best winger. I was at the game last week shouting for James Forrest to start because Yang, Palmer, they didn't cut it for me. They're no cutting it. Their numbers on the gate, you know, Abada's numbers were good. They wasn't always in and out of the game, but his numbers were good. Thiago fell off the boil. You know, I think if you take Carter Vickers out of the Celtic team, Celtic would struggle and they wouldn't have any much the points that we would have, you know. And I was confident 2 weeks ago, you know, again into the last five games of the season. But I think there's still points to be dropped. I think both teams are very, very nervous. I think that if there's any team without in the top six, you're talking St Mirren, Kilmarnock, Hearts, if there's a Celtic or Rangers team to be got at now, this is the time to be got at, because the base teams are there to be got at. They're not the teams that they used to be and going and win 3 and 4 and 5 0. Yes, you'll maybe get the odd result, you know, but it's proven Celtic this year time and time again, you know. Even yesterday when Dundee came back in it, how many times it happened this year that Hearts away when they missed a penalty, then Hearts were the better team, went down to 10 men, Kilmarnock at home, and it's always the same thing, ball into the back post, tails and scale, never to be seen in goals. I can think of 5 or 6 times, you know. It's really, really frustrating to watch, and I think that both teams are quite proven.
I'm going to do amateur psychology in the absence of Hugh, because this is his speciality. Is the level of criticism ramping up because it's tight ultimately? Because I take John Paul's more general point, and it's really difficult. I'm going to go back, compare every team over the last 10 seasons. There's a feeling that they're both poor, you know, but it's tight and it's exciting. So from our point of view, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
If Celtic were, say Rangers were really poor at the moment and Celtic were 12 points ahead, no one would care that yesterday wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
And it was all about it's all born out of a fear that this performance level might catch up on you. And that seems to be coming from both sides.
They're definitely measured against one another. I tend to agree with what John Paul says. And I'm not talking, you know, 20 years ago when Celtic had Henrik Larsson and Rangers had Ronald de Boer. Even if you just go back a couple of years, I think the Celtic team that Ange had is stronger than this Celtic team. And the Rangers team that got to Seville for the Europa League final is stronger than this Rangers team. I tend to agree. These aren't peak elite.
Even at that, you are only going back like 2 and 3 years. That's not.
And there is a lot of the same guys involved in these teams, by the way. So that you're talking, it's a player or two that have moved. Again, for a Rangers perspective, you're thinking like Aribos and Bassies who have moved on. You're thinking Jota, Kamara. You're thinking,
and then some of the ones that stay might be at a lower level than they were then.
So the teams aren't that strong. It is exciting. And I think you're probably right, Gordon. I think people are, you know, the first caller, Graham, was worried about Rangers' level of performance, but he's only worried because they're 3 points behind Celtic. And John Paul is worried about Celtic's level of performance because he knows one more slip and Rangers could be back level with Celtic. So they're measured against one another. They're not classic Celtic Rangers teams, but it makes for an exciting finale, because in the last four rounds of fixtures, you couldn't see for sure how the results will go.
Thank you very much to John Paul. He's away to retrain as Andy Halliday's dentist, who hopefully is still listening. 01419511025, the perfect time to call, and we'll hopefully hear from not only you, but the managers involved after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna is here, so is Kenny Miller, and they're both waiting on you, so give them a shout on the weekend's action, the Player of the Year shortlist, anything else you fancy. Get in touch right now. Thomas has done just that. How are you, Thomas? Hello, Thomas.
Hi, Roger. Hi, Kenny. It's about the game at the weekend, the Celtic game against Dundee. You know, we didn't
Along with the new way of play, well, it's James Forrest. I feel James Forrest should get a game every week. I know you don't get 90 minutes of him. I accept that. But see if you can get 60, 70 minutes at James Forrest. He'll run for you all day. And plus his 2 goals at the weekend. You know what? His first goal was absolute quality. And he's the best for him to go to the club just now.
The way that story's played out, I had almost a... Not fear, it doesn't make much difference to me, but Brendan Rodgers calls him best winger at the club. He then comes in last week and has an impact. Celtic fans all clamour for him to start. I just had this image that he would maybe have a bad game, and then everyone would say, ah, see, we knew it, we knew he shouldn't be in the team. But he actually just embraces it all, goes and scores twice yesterday. How could you argue that he should start now for Celtic?
Well, I don't think you can. That is it. I mean, I remember it was earlier on the season, he came in and got a hat-trick, and then I think he scored at Tynecastle just after it as well. Then he kind of just fell out with the team again, whereas, like I said, his goals... James Forrest is a really good finisher. You see where he gets in, he's just doing the right thing. I mean, that first goal was sensational. Like, the technique to produce that volley. But then when he gets the break for his second goal, he's just ruthless with his finish, right foot or left foot. But it's his whole round game. He's a proper winger. So when he gets the ball, yeah, he can go inside, but he's also goes down the line. You think the one he stood up when he went down the line again, it was, mm-hmm. I think he cushioned a volley round and he goes to the byline and he cuts it back. He just does the right things more often than not. And it's, like I say, it's a real surprise to me that he's not played more when you hear the way Brendan Rodgers has talked about him over the course of the season, because it has been an area of Celtic's team where, out with Maeda, there's been chopping and changing for a lot. For Palma, again, Abadalens has moved on. You've got Yang there. Now you've got, Nicholas Coonan, who's coming in again and not really set the world on fire. You've got James Forrest there, who is reliable. For me, I think he would score more goals than any other winger as well, and I think he's proven that over his Celtic career. But I just think he shows a higher level of performance. And even in that game yesterday, he's doing more. I think he's working harder. I think he produces more than any of the other wingers have.
Yeah, the first call alluded to it, Roger. Like, in the short term, in the here and now, if you've got a player playing like James Forrest, what's the downside? That's a good thing. Play him, embrace him, enjoy him. Maybe in the summer, or if you take a step back, it maybe does highlight the fact that recruitment in those areas hasn't been as impressive as you might want them to be, or that those players are going to take a while to settle. But as it stands, he's looking like number one in that area, is he not? Well, Dyes and Maeda excluded.
Yeah, and we shouldn't be surprised. I mean, this is a player who has scored over 100 goals for Celtic. He's had more than 100 assists for Celtic. I think I saw a stat today. If Celtic win the double this season, James Forrest becomes the second most decorated player in the club's history. Think about that for a minute. 136 years. The second most successful player. James Forrest doesn't get the headlines because he's quiet. He doesn't have a big voice.
Underlined by Brendan Rodgers trying to push him to the front of the celebrations yesterday, and it looked like he wanted the ground to swallow him up.
He just wants to go home and have a quiet time. But, you know, think Maeda, you're right. And when Ange was there, it was Maeda and Jota. But think of the
and Abada as well.
To an extent. But, you know, Lewis Palmer, Yang, Nicholas Coon have all come in and you wouldn't say they're better than James Forrest. Think, you know, Celtic have tried. They've got Haksabanovic out on loan because he couldn't get in the team. Johnson, Mikey Johnson out on loan. Marco Tilio has gone away again to Australia. As you say, you know, Abad has been and gone. James Forrest has seen dozens of wingers off the premises in his time at Celtic. And we might not quite appreciate James Forrest while he's still playing, but James Forrest's legacy at Celtic will last forever.
Yeah, I mean, Thomas, you think from now to the end of the season it has to be that Brendan Rodgers sticks with starting him in games? You don't think buy into that argument some people say about the impact he can have coming off the bench?
I think it should start from the start, Martin. I take Rodgers and Kenny's point. It's probably the best winger we have at the club. You know, obviously couldn't no set either of us. You know, it's just. You know, you get with James Forrest, you know, he would run all day. He's not one for the limelight, but, you know, 60, 70 minutes out of James Forrest, you'll get what you get, and I think he's a really good player. I know a lot of people maybe don't like him. You know what? 4 goals, and they can putting performances like that, you know what I mean? Who's to say, you know what I mean?
It's a subplot to all of this, but I think it is linked Scotland to Euros, especially if it's 26. We're maybe dropping like flies to the extent that even if it's 23, but
can I see it? Again, I don't know. I don't know what Steve Clark's thinking.
Would
but
you?
What I would do is, with this extra players and potential extra players we've got, I think we should be taking something different. You know, not just looking for another player who is in the mould, the kind of Armstrongs and the Christies and the McGinn who can play in there, or the Gilmores and the McTominays, McGregors, Ryan Jacks, all these types of. If we are needing to chase a game, what I would love not to see again was if we play a kind of back four with wingers, as Kenny McLean and John McGinn being our wingers, like centre midfielders being our wingers, you know. We've now got a luxury maybe having an extra three players. Like you say, maybe more in terms of like how the injuries have kind of panned out over the last few weeks.
I'm actually at the stage where I don't even want to talk about the injuries, which is a bit problematic when you do this job.
Yeah, but I would
Scott McTominay's going to tip me over the edge.
I think he'll be all right, hopefully. Hopefully. Sure. But anyway, I think I would be taking a player that can maybe change the game in a different way. By the way, a James Forrest can still be inside and play in that kind of little position off the striker the way John McGinn's done so well, and Armstrong and Christie fit really well. But what he's also got is he's got dribbling ability to put people on the back foot. You know, I think he's still got that sharpness and pace over that 10 yards as well to kind of get away from players as well. I just think he's a different player. He's a different threat that if you, again, it might not be James Forrest, again, Ryan Fraser mm-hmm. has been mentioned, that type of player that when they're 1v1, we are fullback in a wide area, they can go and commit them and put people on the back foot. So with that extra three players potentially, I would definitely think he comes into the reckoning, particularly if he maintains his form going into the last five games of the season.
I think he goes. If it's a 26 man squad, even if, you know, Aaron Hickey makes it and Grant Hanley makes it, honestly, sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and try and put together a 26 man squad, James Forrest will be in it. It has to be, because there's no other really viable, you know, candidates. I heard the argument to show in Saturday, does he take four goalies? No, he doesn't take four goalies. You want outfield players. You want options. A lot of the options aren't available to him. You know, people might say, well, you've got Adams, Dykes and Shanklin, take a fourth striker. Jacob Brown's injured. Kevin Nisbet's injured. Ross Stewart's injured. Ollie McBurney's injured. So where do you find a fourth striker? If Hickey and Patterson don't make it, even if Hickey does make it, he hasn't kicked a ball since October. So I think Tony Ralston will probably go, but who else up the right-hand side? I was thinking about it as it was at Kilmarnock for Super Scoreboard on Saturday. Could he suddenly go for a Lewis Mayo or a Danny Armstrong or something? I don't think it's Steve Clark's style. I think the guys who go will be guys who have been involved with Steve Clark and he knows he can trust. He can certainly trust James Forrest.
Anyway, on James Forrest, Brendan Rodgers says he's one of the remaining fathers of Celtic's decade of success, and he was really pleased for the winger that he's back making an impact.
He's just a brilliant player. I said to the guys after, he's one of the remaining fathers of the success that this club has had over this last decade or so in particular. Very few of them, but he's definitely one of them that has created this this mentality and the symbol of quality over this last decade the club has had. And I'm so pleased for him. He's first finishes sublime, really. What technique, and his second one, he makes it look easier than what it is. So he may not quite have the legs what he had, you know, a number of years back, but he certainly has the quality that doesn't diminish. And he was our match winner.
He was indeed the match winner in the title race, still as it was. What does that mean then? Let's swing back and forward the blue side to David, who's on. What jumped out for you yesterday, David?
The amount of slagging that Dessers gets, that's him now a 20-goal striker. That's what we were asking for, mm-hmm. and that's what we've got. I mean, he's not the finished article, but he's a workhorse. He gives his all every game that he can. We wouldn't be where we were without him. I mean, he's still got a couple of games left that he could be scoring more. But I think what we've got to remember is St Mirren have been playing well for the last two or three years. They have taken points off both the old firm. So to go there and get a victory, we should be happy. I mean, St Mirren have taken points off the old firm for the last couple of years and played well. And they've got a decent team who are well organised and can score goals. And I think we overlook how decent a team St Mirren are.
Yeah, we've said it before. This has been ongoing. The numbers versus the eye test for serial dessers can be very different. I wonder if David makes a point. Once you hit 20, that's like a widely known benchmark that every striker would consider decent. Not amazing, but pretty good, yeah.
Listen, I think the criticism he's faced has been harsh, and it's been harsh in the respect that it's him all the time. You know, there's a whole other team there, but I think he's been a real kind of source of that the fans have vented their frustration right for the outset of the season. You know, he's been someone that the fans have got on, and anytime things don't go quick, listen, because there's probably been maybe a couple of misses within the game that have allowed the fans to jump on it. But see, the thing about Cyril Dessers, he's hit 20 goals. I think he'll probably get another 2-3, maybe 4 before the end of the season. He'll end up with maybe 23 goals, which will be a good first year for a striker, considering I don't know if he maybe took a penalty or so through the course of the season. Did he get one?
I don't think
no.
so.
Well, anyway, he's not taking penalties. James Tavernier obviously takes the penalties, but it's a good number. But what he has done is Danilo's been injured, Roof's been injured, Silva's came in to potentially back him up and help him, but clearly he's not a number 9. So Dess has had to be out there every single week pretty much, and he's putting himself out there to be shot at. And what he's done is he's been out there working, like David says, he's getting his goals, he's hit 20, you know, he's done it a lot with a smile on his face as well, with a lot of pressure on his shoulders to deal with that kind of criticism. So he deserves credit for continually showing up. And by the way, I would much rather have him in that 6-yard box missing chances than taking himself out of the equation, not to miss chances and not put himself in the positions to miss, because at that point you're not going to get to these kind of numbers. So I think I can understand why there's been, like you say, it's that eye test. There's things I think he says, even himself in his post-match, that he can tidy up on, he can improve it. But every player can improve, as long as they understand that and actually go away and actually work on it to improve it. If he can improve on that number next season and tidy up some of his stuff, it could be a good striker for Rangers. But like you say, the eye test against the numbers are good, you know, but I just think the fans expect that little bit more.
David, yesterday then, you sound a bit more positive than the previous caller. You're happy enough just to get that win, move on. You're not concerned by performance levels.
To be honest, I think this year, whoever's the champion is just the best of a bad bunch. I don't think any team, either Rangers or Celtic, has consistently, over long spells of the season, played well. I mean, Celtic were so many ahead at Christmas, and we clawed them back. Then we've thrown away a good few results. It's almost as if whoever wins it weren't as bad as the other team. Not that they were better, they just weren't as bad. I think that's the problem.
Maybe I'm just jealous of... Oh, that can't be the right word, but maybe I'm not used to this, because when you support a wee team, you don't have these predicaments. But I can't believe how much people are not trying to enjoy this. You look back.
It's just Scottish football. It's not here for enjoyment.
Exactly. That's what it feels like, though. Pick a title, any title from whatever 2000. You know, pick a year. Nobody remembers if you were the best of a bad bunch. What does that mean?
Somebody's got to win it. We can't just give it to Hearts for finishing third.
And then you just trudge up to get your winner's medal and go, oh well, we were the best of a bad bunch this year.
The best team will win it.
Cheer up.
If we go back to Kenny's point about Cyril Dessers, if Kenny's right and he gets 4 more goals this season, he'll be judged by this measurement. If 2 of them are at Celtic Park and a win, and 2 of them are at Hampden and a win, Cyril Dessers will be a Rangers hero forevermore. If his other 4 goals this season are against Dundee, Kilmarnock and Hearts, and Rangers win neither the league nor the Scottish Cup, then he won't be a hero. It's as simple as that. Like any Rangers centre-forward, like you in your day, like them all, he needs to score goals in Cup finals and games against Celtic.
At the same time, though, That's 2-1-0 winners against St Mirren,
yep,
in Paisley. David's talking about, you know, it's not an easy place to go and so on. Rangers are still second favourites. They've got work to do, but those can be the days that win you titles as well. I know what Roger's saying. I get about the headlines, but 2-1-0 winners in Paisley.
And a double to send you to the final as well last week, you know. So, you know, I understand what David's saying, but I can't ever turn my mind off to the fact that, by the way, Rangers should be going to St Mirren and win. You know, that's yeah. It. It's the same with Celtic going to Dundee. All this tough place to go. And listen, yeah, based on... Because, by the way, David's bang on. St Mirren are a good team. You watch them, you know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to be watching. They're well-drilled. They work ever so hard for each other. But Rangers should be going and winning that, particularly at this stage of the season where everything that's on the line. They've got better players, you've got bigger budgets.
So what
are
you
saying?
You would still be slightly concerned then at the heavy weather?
No, I wouldn't. Because they won. Okay. You know, so they go there and win. Should they be winning better or easier? They should be, but it's no played on paper. It's no played on budgets, and it's no played on where players have been or how many goals they've scored. It's played there in the moment, and it's like you said right at the top of the show. Rangers made the most of their moments yesterday, you know, because it looked for long spells they might not go on and win that game because it didn't look like they were going to score. But when the big moment came and the mistake fell, Cyril Dessers was £30. But Rangers should be going to these places and win. You know, the same way, again, you're talking, you look at these last four fixtures, it's not, again, back through history, it's not abnormal for Rangers to go to Celtic Park and win. Maybe recently it has. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to be easy. No game is when you've been a Rangers player or a Celtic player. You know, it's an opportunity. There's no doubt teams lift their game. There is all that goes into being a Rangers and Celtic player. But at this stage of the season, so you go back to Dingwall and Dundee, that's where the Rangers fans were so, so frustrated because there's a league title on the line and it looked like a real lack of hunger to go out. And by the way,
did you see more hunger yesterday?
You know what? Maybe not. But what they've done is the result can always cloud over that.
Okay, thank you to David. Let me tell you about this before we go further. Clyde One. £1 million make me a winner. Win your share of £1 million. Make me a winner. You know how it was absolutely freezing, pouring, windy, grey and miserable all day? Well, Nicky is heading to the Caribbean after winning £100,000 on £1 million Make Me a Winner. It is the competition that keeps changing lives, and now £125,000 up for grabs. You could go, but just get a slightly nicer hotel than Nicky. Although I think you'll get a pretty nice one for £100,000. Text yes to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. All the rules for this network competition are online. And if you get the call after 3 p.m. tomorrow, answer within five rings, say make me a winner straight away to win £125,000. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It was a big weekend in Scottish football. Then you get up on Monday and realise today's the day the shortlists are announced for Player of the Year and Young Player of the Year. We're worried about injuries to the Scotland squad as well. It is very busy out there in terms of talking points. Motherwell have appealed Jack Vale's red card. Is that worth it, or has they got no chance? You tell us. 0141 951 1025. Plenty to come. Our reporters were down at that PFA event. All the players were there. They all spoke. Some interesting stuff coming out, so we'll do that for sure. And I want to hear who you think will win out of that four. Get your calls in. But we're still reflecting.
Fraser Mushet lay on a big spread for the boys today?
Actually, don't know. I didn't get the chance to inquire fully. You think you're usually well looked after at that? It's a very busy afternoon because you're trying to get round all the, what are you, eight men's nominees, eight women's players. There's a lot going on.
Big finale to the women's season as well. Rangers winning that semi-final, and now I think the league decider live on the telly next Monday.
Monday lunchtime it is.
An old
firm game on a Monday lunchtime. There you go.
Things
you never thought you would see. James is a Celtic fan. How do you reflect on the weekend and where that leaves the title race, James?
I'm silently confident, but you don't want egg in your face, do you?
You've just told the nation, though. So your silence is over. You've just told everybody. What gives you is it just that advantage? You know, Celtic have the advantage just now. You just expect it to sort of be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, but well, that was kind of leading with my point. The biggest difference I feel is everybody used to slag him as Starfelt. Missing him on the left side with his pace. He used to cover up for Taylor a lot of the time when he was bombing forward. And he would also cover Carter Vickers. Him and it was how long did they two go without losing a league game when they started together? You know?
So you think central defence is still an area that worries you then? That's why you're only a little bit confident?
Yeah, well, if you imagine at the start of the season, Scales just came off half decent season with Aberdeen. He was on the left side of three with Aberdeen. He wasn't going to be a Celtic player after the summer. And obviously the injuries happened and now he is. But I think he's starting to tail off now.
Yeah, Roger, this discussion has been ongoing all season, because it's hard to get away from Lagerbielka and Navrotsky, and why do we sign them, and are they no good? And but I don't know, is Liam Scales tailing off to the extent Celtic fans say he is, or is he, or was he always going to have a bit of a target on his back because of the background?
He played really well at the start of the season. He's in the PFA Scotland team of the season that was chosen by his peers a few weeks ago, and that indicates how well he started the season and continued it for 75 or 80% of the season. But I think James and a lot of Celtic fans have seen a dip in his performance levels. The issue for Brendan Rodgers is does that dip in Scales' form take him beneath where Rodgers rates Navrocki, Lagerbielka, Welsh?
Not.
Obviously not. So Celtic will see out the season with Scales and with Carter Vickers, assuming Carter Vickers stays fit, which for me has been a bigger problem for Celtic, because when he's not there, they do look far more ropey at the back. Everything James says is echoed by, I would say, the majority of Celtic supporters, but Scales is nailed on for the rest of the season.
It was Adam Eder's mistake that was Celtic's undoing really yesterday, but I suppose James means a general lack of stability in his eyes. Liam Scales, what are you thinking at this point?
Listen, I think Liam Scales had a really good season. You know, someone who was thrust into the team through 2-3 injuries to players that had been signed, obviously the departure of Starfelt. I think he's had a really, really solid season alongside Carter Vickers. By the way, Carter Vickers has missed, I don't know, maybe 40% of the league games as well, so he's not had that stable partnership there as well. But I think he's had a solid season. Listen, will he be Celtic's left-sided centre-back next year? I think both sides of the Old Firm will probably be addressing the left sides of their defence. So Scales is probably going to, he's got it all to do, but I wouldn't be wanting to be pointing the finger at Scales at all this season. I thought he's been really solid when he was needed, by the way. He needed to come in and actually do well. And if you go back to that first Old Firm game of the season where he played, I think it was Lagerbielka he played with.
Yeah.
Scales was the steady one. You know, Lagerbielka, the new signing, was the one that looked really there to be got at. So listen, I think Scales has done great. He's had a good season. I think he deserves his spot on the team of the year.
But James, that definitely, what is that then? Do you agree he did play well? Is he now dropping off slightly? Is it just an indictment of how poor the recruitment was in that area in the summer?
No, I like Scales. He's a lot of different partners this season, which I understand, but you think about it, if Starfelt was next to Carter Vickers for most of the season, would Celtic have thrown away the 8-point lead?
Yeah, that's what we'll never know, will we? You know, we'll never know that. And again, it's Scales to blame for any of that. You know, this is where, like, understand that partnership was a good partnership, but it's not there anymore. It's about finding the next partnership. And again, you can't dwell on what would have been if had Starfelt stayed. You know, Liam Scales just had to come into this team. By the way, someone who I think at the start of the season was Aberdeen trying to get him back, or there was rumours of him potentially moving on. He's come in and been a real steady force on the left-hand side of that Celtic defence. You know, is he as good as Starfelt? Again, who knows? You know, but like you say, James, a lot of people were saying, even when Starfelt was there, that the left side of that defence needs to be sorted out because Starfelt's this or he's that. You know, and now, again, you realise maybe what you had once it's away. So it's again, I don't think Scales will be playing left side centre back for Celtic next year. But it just means they're needing to go and sign another one, and Celtic brought three players in this year to play that position alongside Carter Vickers, and none of them have cut the mustard.
Yeah, that's it. They will sign a centre half. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Where that leaves Navrocki, where it leaves Lagerbielka, where it leaves Scales and Welsh, we'll have to see. But they'll need to sign somebody to play with Carter Vickers long term, I think.
Thank you, James. What a quick hour that was. It's time to play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. You know it's a tough school on a Monday night, even when Halliday's out and Miller's in, not much changes. I have to say, I like the tweet I got from Russell Stewart, who heard Andy was in the dentist, so he's photoshopped Andy with methadone mixed teeth from Still Game. Looking, see him there. Can you lean over? And a bit far for you, Roger Hannah. You happy with that?
Good effort.
Mind it at all. Anyway, Beat the Pundit time, 01419511025, and the lines close at 7. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. That was a quick first hour, has to be said. Time flies when you're having fun, or whatever the saying is. Roger Hannah and Kenny Miller, everyone's idea of fun, I'm sure, on a Monday night are here. And if you want to join them, 01419511025. There is still a lot to get through from the weekend. I still don't even feel like we're finished in Paisley and Dens Park. If there are more talking points you think we've missed, put us right. Then you ground the rest of the games. You look at some of the other big results. I know there was a big contentious talking point at Pittodrie because Motherwell have appealed that red card, and Liam Kelly's come out and not happy the way the referee spoke to the players. I wonder if that's a widespread issue in the game. And then, always a great day for debate on this show. I actually told that Fraser Wishart not to do it on a Monday because he could just do it midweek and then it gives us a full night.
Oh no, Monday's a day. Monday's
so it spreads
day.
You out for the week, yeah, in the newspaper.
Get him sunk on a Monday.
I beg to differ. But anyway, see when you read.
Well done, Fraser.
When you read Matt O'Reilly's interview in the Sun on Friday.
Matt O'Reilly in tomorrow. Great advert, please. James Tavernier in tomorrow. Lauren Shankler in tomorrow. It's only £1.
Okay. It's all the big hitters.
All the big hitters are there for you in tomorrow's Scottish Sun.
I'll play them in the next 2 minutes if that tickles your fancy.
Definitely.
But anyway,
the big questions were asked.
Who will win out of those four? Shankland, Butland, Tavernier, O'Reilly. That is the final four, as voted for by their fellow pros. Don't blame us. Who'll win that four? Pick up the phone, we'll play this first.
When you voted, Kenny, by the way. With the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and
opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Sorry, as you were saying.
No, I was going to ask Kerry, when you voted, the guy you vote for, did he always win? Or did you have a few googlies?
Actually, I can't remember. Probably always won. Fair and honest.
I'm sure. Right, let's play Beat the Pundit first. Jamie's in Newton Mearns. How are you, Jamie? Jamie, how are you?
Hello.
Can you hear us? Are you well?
I can hear you. I'm good, but how are you?
Not bad. Do you fancy your chances on this, Jamie?
Not against Roger, but maybe against Kenny.
Okay.
Alright.
This is like such a random thought, and I'm pretty certain the answer is going to be no. Did you and I speak to each other at any point today, Jamie?
No.
Right, that's fine. I suspected that was it's just very random. Now I'm going to have to explain it. So I obviously live in a similar part of the world to Jamie, as do you.
Yes.
And I was in the gym before I came here, uh-huh. And someone came up to me and said, I'm telling you, I need to phone in for Beat the Pundit. I beat them all every night.
Oh.
And it was just that last line. He said, I'm not sure about Roger Hannah, but I'd beat Kenny Miller. So I just wondered if it was the same guy. But obviously
that's
not.
That's 10 out of 10 mind. Last week, Kenny Miller.
So listen, this guy's flying this season. He absolutely
is. I got away with homicide last week, so I did. There's three of them were guesses, Roger. I'm not ashamed to admit it as well.
I think I've lost my coin as well. That's a real disaster. That's not what we need on Beat the Pundit. Who's got a pound coin in their pocket? Roger Hannah.
He's got a pocket full of change.
Kenny only deals in notes.
That's the man who plays the puggy, Roger Hannah. Right, anyway, Jamie heads. It will be Kenny Miller. 10 pence, is that it? Tails, it'll be Roger Hannah. And it is. It's tails. It's your coin. And it's you against Jamie. Sorry, Jamie. You're going to have to take on Roger Hannah. That suit you?
Not particularly, but
well, minus one. He does start on minus one. So be quick, get through them, see how we get on. All right, Roger will get some greatest hits radio in his ear so he can't hear Jamie's answers. And we'll get the time ready. Jamie, it's 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
That's fine.
Let's go. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who won last year's Men's PFA Player of the Year in Scotland? Charlie Miller, Billy Dodds and Mark Kerr all played for which club?
Rangers.
Who were the last team to beat Celtic in the league?
Pass.
Which team are currently in the relegation playoff place in the Championship?
Pass.
Name any of the teams in the English Premier League that Jack Butland has been at?
Stoke Town.
Which Scottish team are nicknamed the Galabankies?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring back Roger Hannah. Roger, can you hear us?
Yes.
You're 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who won last year's Men's PFA Player of the Year in Scotland?
Kyogo.
Charlie Miller, Billy Dodds and Mark Kerr have all played for which club?
Dundee United.
Who were the last team to beat Celtic in the league?
Kilmarnock.
Which team is currently in the relegation playoff place in the Championship?
Inverness.
Name any of the teams in the English Premier League that Jack Butland has been at?
Crystal Palace.
Which Scottish team are nicknamed the Galabankies?
Annan.
I think we just started it, didn't we? Scott Agnew is the manager of which SPFL side?
Stranraer.
Okay, have you done enough, Jamie?
Nope.
I need to take the blame on one of the questions. I read it out slightly wrong and it does change things. I'll explain as we go. Who won last year's PFA Player of the Year? It was Kyogo. You both got it 1-1. Well, in fact, it's not, because Roger starts on -1. You do go level. You just heard the first two names, Jamie. You ignored the last one. Charlie Miller, Billy Dodds. Yes, Rangers. But Mark Kerr made it Dundee United. So Roger Hannah is level. The relegation playoff place in the Championship was Inverness Cali Thistle. Roger Hannah goes one in front. I'm going to give this one to Jamie.
Oh, he's giving things out again. No, Roger. He's at it again.
Listen, because the question I have in front of me was, name any of the teams currently in the English Premier League that Jack Butland has been at. I didn't say currently when I read them.
Jamie said Stoke.
And he said Stoke. So yeah, that's
okay.
Fair.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'll give up.
Ah, come on.
We'll give up.
But Roger got it anyway with Crystal Palace, so he stays in front. The Galabankies is Annan, and Scott Agnew is at Stranraer. It is a tough school on a Monday, Jamie. It is brave of you to phone in. You got a couple on the board, but it was not enough. Hard lines?
None of them.
Good man. Take it easy, Jamie.
Cheers, Jamie.
Good man. Jamie on the line. Another one bites the dust, eh? Happy with that?
Yeah.
I'm not. Yeah. I thought you should have got Hearts for Celtic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like you.
Sorry, you didn't get an equation.
Did I miss that out?
Yeah, you missed that in the answers, yeah.
Yeah, neither of them got it. The last team to beat Celtic in the league was Hearts.
The day after Rangers lost to Motherwell, wasn't it, on the Sunday?
Yeah, I think the contestant passed it, I think, yeah, from memory. But there we go. Hearts was the answer to that one. Okay, 01419511025. That's the number you need. You can tweet at ClydeSSB. I'm not entirely sure we're totally over the talking points from the weekend, so if you've got more left in you, feel free. But it's always a big day. It's a nice debate when we get the Player of the Year shortlist, because we debated last week who should be on it. Well, now we know, and I don't think it differs too much. I'm thinking last week the only other name that was bandied around really was Bojan Miovski. You know, we had different pundits in on different nights. We had calls.
The key to this is, as soon as Hugh Keevan said he'd be in the shortlist, then you know he's not going to be in the shortlist.
Yeah. So James Tavernier and Jack Butland of Rangers, Matt O'Reilly and Celtic, Lawrence Shankland. So I don't see loads of surprises. You could have maybe made a case for Miovski, but which of those four would you bump? Is that the four you expected?
Yeah. Say that weeks ago.
Yeah.
That would be those four. They have been outstanding performers. Miovski's done great to kind of be in the conversation, considering the season Aberdeen have had. I think he did dry up a little bit in terms of his goals, probably over that Neil Warnock era. I don't think he got too many goals and league goals over that spell. So I think that's the four. You know, for me, they've been outstanding players. Again, if you go through them, Matt O'Reilly, as much as he had maybe a little dip for maybe four or five games, I think he's back to performing at a good level. Shankland's scoring goals for fun. He's been really consistent. Butland's been sensational. And Tavernier, to have the amount of goals he has, fought again, we say it every single season for a right back, but his performances are consistent as well. I think that's a fair four-man shortlist for me.
You mentioned Miovski and Neil Warnock. Here's a tip. Get your pen out here, Kenny. See, when you go back into management,
yep,
and you've got a guy who's scoring 20 or 25 goals for yep. each season, don't criticise him publicly because he can't defend corners. Because that then puts the 25 goal striker against you, and he's not going to score many goals for you.
John is on the line. John, what do you think then out of those four? Firstly, is that the right four? And then secondly, who'll win it?
Yeah, you wouldn't have been far away with that four. I've got to be honest, it's not been a vintage season for all teams in the league, and there are probably four standouts in the league this year. First of all, good evening, Gordon, Kenny, Roger. But for me, it's got to be Butland. I've been on here before, talking about Butland. I don't know how he's not got back into the England team with how consistent he's been. Obviously, I don't really think much else down there, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I'm a bit worried that he won't be there next season with how good he's playing, because he's only 31, 32, which isn't an old for a goalkeeper. And I don't remember making one mistake this season for Rangers, and some of the saves, big saves even yesterday, have kept us in games. I know being a Rangers goalie, sometimes you only get one or two saves a game, but his consistency in the league, in the cups, and in Europe at times, it's just been phenomenal. And before he came to Rangers, he wasn't playing much, and we've got him because he wasn't playing much. And I'm looking at other teams in England, the Man United goalie, they've got it in, I'm thinking, why did they not keep Butland? Because he's head and shoulders above him. I don't know what you think.
Should Jack, there's a subtle difference. I'm not asking you at this point, I maybe will, to predict who will win. Who for you, if you had the deciding vote, would it be Jack Butland?
To win it, I think Lauren Shanklin. I think Lauren Shanklin will win it. I think Jack Butland will run him close. Everything John says, he's bang on. You know, he's barely put a foot wrong. Some of his saves, again, just you know, you've only got to look to 24 hours ago. That save to stop Bolton. You know, that could, it was such a pivotal moment in the game. St Mirren just equalised. We're just going into half-time. And that's a certain goal. I mean, Bolton couldn't believe it. It's not hit the back of the net. And it was just instinctive. It was a world-class save, is what it was. And Jack Butland has made a number of them over the course of the season. And John's right, when you're a Rangers or a Celtic goalie, sometimes you might not get asked too many questions. You know, I would say Rangers of late, Jack Butland has been asked a lot of questions, but he's came up with the answer more often than not. So I think it'd be, I think this will be Lauren Shanklin's year.
Roger?
I agree with that, Kenny. Jack Butland's been terrific. What John said is absolutely correct. He got two awards at the Rangers Player of the Year.
Oh, he was going to win Rangers Player of the Year, yeah, for sure, wasn't
last
he?
Last night. He's been fantastic. I think it's very harsh that he's not in the England squad. I'll be fascinated to see the three goalies who make it to the Euros with England, because Gareth Southgate is running out of options. Even the ones he picked in the last squad ahead of Butland are now no longer playing for their clubs. So I think Butland is still in with a chance there. He has been fantastic. He's been a terrific Bosman signing for Rangers. He has rarely put a glove wrong. But for me this season, Shanklin's been a player of the year.
When this comes up, I always like, don't want to be anti-Jack Butland because he has been brilliant. I take the point about they don't always have to be, you know, they need to be switched on for that one moment that comes along. But I wonder if that's the bit that rules you out of player of the year. You know, if you're in it, that I can lump Celtic into this, so it's not all about Rangers or it's not all about Jack Butland. For a Rangers or Celtic goalie to win it, do they need to be like off the scale outstanding or do it in these massive games, maybe against each other, where you look and say he's the reason we won that league? And also maybe that has to be in a season where there aren't any other standout candidates. Are they busy enough to be the player of the year?
Listen, I think Jack Butland has been called upon a lot this year, maybe more than a Rangers goalie has. And we've had so many callers on, even, I mean, just tonight, maybe saying it's not been an outstanding season and there's maybe not the outstanding performers, but I think
you always knew Shanklin was going to be in there though, didn't you?
Of course he was, because he's backed up his a season at Hearts last year where he got 28 goals. He's bettered it this year. He's a top scorer in the league. He was always going to be on, and by the way, a match winner so often for Hearts, and again where Hearts would be without him. You know, Hearts have got a good squad, but he's been the guy that's been the match winner. He's been the guy that's been the difference in so many games over the course of the season. Like, if you look at probably the goals that he's scored, I'm sure they'll equate to a lot of points that Hearts have got over the course of the season. So he was always going to be in it. James Tavernier was always going to be, but he couldn't not be in it with his performances. And again, he's only four league goals behind Lauren Shanklin. You're talking about Lauren Shanklin having an incredible season. James Tavernier is four league goals behind him.
Mm-hmm. You know, many old firm goalies have won the PFA Scotland Player of the Year award.
I was just going to go for that.
One.
And
1993, the season Rangers got effectively to the Champions League semi-finals.
Is that it in a nutshell, Jonah? You've made a very good case for Jack Butland. Goalies don't tend to win it. No goalkeeper has won it since 1993. Can you see that trend being bucked this year?
Possibly not. Shanklin has done well for Hearts, and I hope he does well for Scotland Euros, but I watch my team every week, and it's not just the saves he makes, it's the commanding in the box. Last year, I think McGregor just went one season too many, and I was frightened any time my team got a corner because he wasn't coming for the ball, but Butland's got that presence, he comes out, you feel safer, the defence must feel safer with him behind them, and I just feel that even in Europe, he's just been absolutely phenomenal, and when he's called upon, the amount of times it's been kicked back to him, his feet, and he's had to adjust his feet as well. He's just, and as Kenny's saying, he has had probably more work today than the Rangers goal recently, because your defence has, it's not been great at times, and it's sometimes you see that ball in the middle, your heart's in your mouth any time that happens, because you're like, oh, here we go again. So he has been a busy goalie for Rangers, more than usual, and if he doesn't get it and we win the league and win the treble, I think he'll be happy with that.
Yeah, I think he would take that.
Can I just point out to you as well, we're talking the PFA Scotland Player of the uh-huh. Year Award. The football writers, when the one that gets voted in the middle of the May,
clueless.
Craig Gordon's got it three times.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Gorham, Hamish McAlpine, Alan Ruff, Ronnie Simpson. Footballers are against goalkeepers. I've just decided this.
No, outfield
players are snobs against goalies.
Or football writers have got a weird fascination with goalies. Goalies?
I tend come to go on. With that.
Come on, I can't even.
So Craig Gordon didn't deserve it?
Nah, he didn't.
No, three times, no.
These are the guys. These are the guys that make the difference at the sharp end of the pitch. Can't believe you're downing the attackers in front of Kenny Miller. Anyway, thank you to John. Let's hear from Jack Butland then. He was speaking at that event today. He says they're ready to go full tilt for the final matches of the season and insists they're still full of belief.
Full tilt. It's we've come a long way. We've put ourselves in a position to achieve some great things. But that is all we've done. We've put ourselves in a position to do so. We all know what it's going to take and what we have to do to get over the line and get what we need. So it's full focus, one game at a time. If we do that and we perform to our best, then we give ourselves a really good opportunity for that.
Is there still a real belief within the dressing room, Jack?
100%. You be silly to lose heart now from where we've come from. The gap that we closed, the position that we've put ourselves in, there's certainly plenty of belief in the squad that we can do it. Belief is one thing. We've got to go out there and show it and put in the performances to do so.
So will it be Jack Butland or will it be one of the other three? 01419511025. The guys in the studio have both gone Lawrence Shankland. We've got a nice poll for you on Twitter if you want to go and vote on it. I mean, quite often on Clyde One Super Scoreboard Twitter, it just becomes about Celtic and Rangers fans trying to outdo each other. Lawrence Shankland definitely has far fewer votes than I would have expected him to on a poll like this. But what can you do? Democracy. Eh? Give us a call and we'll try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are here on 0141 951 1025. Just before the break, we were debating that four-man shortlist for PFA Scotland's Player of the Year. Is it the right four for you, in your opinion, and who will win it? The previous caller said has to be Jack Butland. Roger and Kenny say has to be Lawrence Shankland. Any Matt O'Reilly or James Tavernier fans out there, give us a call right now. If you think we've missed something from the weekend, the best way to do that is pick up the phone. There is so much, we'll never get round it all. So give us a call if there's something you want to discuss on there. And I've got some good news for you, Roger Hanna. I was just
Andy Halliday, the dentist, safe.
Yeah, he's fine. I was expecting constantly bad news on this front, but my worst fears will have to wait another day. Scott McTominay has taken to Instagram, as players do these days, mm-hmm. to say, "I slipped and fell awkward on my knee, similar to against Chelsea. Nothing serious, just a hyperextension. I was angry and upset. I thought it was worse than it was. Hoping to be back on the pitch very soon to help the team as much as I can."
There you go.
Good news.
You're happy.
Music
you're happy
to my
man
ears.
Now, yep.
It can't be just me.
As we all are.
A nation breathes a sigh of relief. Because that would have... When you think nothing could dampen your enthusiasm for a major tournament, the injury list was starting to get to that stage. You can't go without him, can you?
No, he's been absolutely instrumental in us making Germany in the summer. So, aye, it's... again, whether he plays the deeper role, whether he's kind of played that little bit further up, and obviously his goal scoring this season, like, not just for Scotland, for Man United actually, he's popped up with so many big goals over the course of the season. So yeah, he'll be a big, big player for us this summer.
Okay, 01419511025. That is the number you need. And you can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. I'm going to give you two a teaser in just a second. The reason being, I don't actually have it in front of me. I could have just lied about that, but that's the truth. I'm honest with everybody. So let's bring in Stephen first while I get the question. How are you, Stephen?
I'm good, yourself?
Not bad, not bad. I know you had point of your own before I brought this up. Let me throw it on you though. Those four men, the Player of the Year, who went out of those four?
I wouldn't be surprised if Butland got it, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
What was your thought process when you were voting, Kenny? Just the toughest opponent when you played against them, or based on what you'd seen over the piece? You're a bit more of a student of the game, I would imagine.
That'd be the best, who I thought the best player was over the course of the season. Like, again, if you're playing in a successful team as well, and you've actually went and delivered in big moments, I think you need to take that into consideration. But you're looking at consistency over the course of a season, and again, for me, by the way, I think all four of them have been pretty consistent. Maybe had little blips here or there and drops off in performance, which, by the way, everybody does through a season. But I think those four performers have been really consistent across the season.
You're a Celtic fan, Stevie. Has Matt O'Reilly not done enough?
I mean, I suppose it falls into the point I'm going to make. There's a recency bias thing. You know, Matt O'Reilly in the first part of the season was unbelievable, and if he kept that up, then he would have been an easy winner. But I think when it comes to the time of voting, people are remembering probably Christmas or New Year's onwards, and that's probably fell into that. But I don't think it's been a vintage season for, you know, players of the year, to be honest. I think it's been...
Maybe we're seeing, though, the reverse of that, because I did say the poll. We've got, 3,500 votes. That's quite a lot, and that'll only get... We've not even had it up that long. Matt O'Reilly is a good bit out in front on 47%. So is this just Celtic fans saying,
awesome,
I'll not be clicking on anybody else, I'll be clicking on Matt O'Reilly, that's for sure.
Well, and listen, this is what could push Matt O'Reilly close to winning the award, because clearly the Rangers' vote is split between Butland and Tavernier. They're both on the shortlist. You've seen it.
Whoa. You try to tell me that professionals in Scotland just vote for
now
their team.
Now, this is the politics of the player of the year we're getting into, guys.
Here's the thing.
This is a whole new idea
tonight. Stevie is our 7th or 8th caller. We've probably had 4 Rangers fans and 4 Celtic fans. So no Hearts fans, no Kelly fans, no St Mirren fans. If you look at the players, Fraser Wishart's good members, the players who play for the 42 clubs who get a vote, there's a fair chance the majority of them will be either Rangers fans or Celtic fans. The Celtic fans
will
vote.
They can surely appreciate the work Lawrence Shanklin's done, no?
The Celtic fans will vote for Matt O'Reilly. The Rangers fans will vote for either James Tavernier or Jack Butland. And a lot of the rest will vote for Lawrence Shanklin. That is how it works.
Now you mention it, there has been one and only one non-Old Firm winner since 1990. And it was Michael Higden.
There you go.
And he really celebrated as well that night, didn't he? Anyway, Stephen, sorry, I know that was feeding into your main point and I distracted you, so take it away.
So, I was in the gym earlier on when the boy John Paul phoned in talking about the Celtic wingers, and honestly, I nearly threw a dumbbell through the glass. he threw... You know, I've heard this on a lot of phone-ins programmes or podcasts, or throwing Palmer in with the Yang. You know, I just don't see it with Yang. His numbers are terrible. 31 appearances, 1 goal, 3 assists. But Palmer... I don't know what it is. It's almost forgotten about what he's done. The guy's played... he's had 38 appearances, 11 goals, 13 assists. He's only 3 goal contributions behind Jota's both seasons, and he's played a lot less games. And when you put it in numbers, minutes on the park, he's contributing 1 in every 92 minutes versus Jota at 1 in 114 minutes. So he's been injured for the last couple of months and he's struggling to get onto form, but to say he's been a waste of money and he's not a good winger, I just think it's nonsense, to be honest.
I like that, a man who makes a point and backs it up. We have to agree, but maybe it is unfair. You can still think he's not been brilliant. You can still think he's got a way to go, but maybe not lumping him in with everybody and saying, oh, Yang and Palmer, and you know, they're all the same.
There was a wee moment towards the end of the game at Denz yesterday when Dundee were sort of trying to get ahead of steam and trying to get an equaliser, and he sort of bust down the right-hand side, and Palmer bust a gut to come back and get a challenge in, and he conceded a corner. And the Celtic fans behind that goal all rose to him at once. And it actually made me think, he hasn't probably done enough of that this season. It's like an eye test. You know, Jota, that Stevie mentioned, because of the numbers, Jota was a sort of all-action, dynamic player. He was absolutely everywhere, all over the field. That's not Palmer's style. Palmer's got a kind of more laconic style, if you like, you know. A lovely technician, but doesn't always throw himself about in the action, if you know what I mean. And that maybe goes against him a little bit. Undoubtedly, lovely technical player. His numbers are great. And when he gets back to full fitness, he will make a big contribution for Celtic. Currently, though, I think Coon and Forrest are probably the first picks.
Is Stevie's sticking up for Lewis Palmer fair?
I think it is. His numbers are there. I mean, I love the research as well when giving us the breakdown of the minutes per goal contribution. It's there. You know, again, it's there for all to see. Everybody knows he's been right up there with assists all season. He's got a decent number of goals as well. So I just think Rodgers just hit it on the head. You know, you're at the moment, if you're talking, I think it's going to be between, for me, it would be between Palmer and Forrest, who starts. And I think both of them are completely different players. As much as they play the same position, they play it in a different way. Forrest is probably just taking the edge off Palmer. But you know what? It is a squad game. The biggest thing for me with James Forrest is he's actually not had a lot of game time this season. So whether it be starting or even coming on, he's not. Palmer has had. You know, he has had. And he has delivered a lot of goals, a lot of assists for a left winger. So it's just, I think, that game, like Roger says, you just want more. You maybe want to see a little bit more passion, a little bit more hunger, a little bit more running about. But in terms of his numbers, again, we'll go back to the same with the Dessers thing. Dessers got 20 goals now with however many assists. Numbers are good, but again, the eye test is always going to be there for fans.
Thank you to Stephen. You make a compelling case. Well done to you for the research. Do not throw dumbbells in the gym. That would be ill-advised. Let me give you, a bit later than normal, let me give you this question.
Full-time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
I like it. It's just right up my street, this type of question. Thanks to Stephen McCara for sending it in. It's relatively tricky. Can you name 10 players who have scored against their former club in the Scottish Premiership this season? Okay. But they must have also scored for that club as well in the top flight at some point. That's just a wee caveat. So can you name 10 players who've scored against their former club during the current Premiership season? They must also have scored for that club within the top flight at some point.
You must always have done that. Have you done many clubs?
A lot of times, yeah. Unfortunately, no, this season, Roger, yep.
Lawrence Shankland.
Against?
St Mirren and Aberdeen.
No, because he wouldn't have scored in the top flight for St Mirren or Aberdeen.
All right.
So that caveat's done.
Right,
you
okay.
You
see,
Curtis Glenn? Nope.
Good question.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it a lot, I have to say.
Did Greg Taylor score against Kilmarnock?
He did. Well done. Ooh.
Turnbull?
Yes, Turnbull scored against Motherwell. Is that a penalty, I think?
In that big win, did John Souter score against
Hearts?
Nope. No.
It won't surprise you to hear that most of these are non-Old Firm players. In fact, I'm feeling generous. You've got the only two.
Right.
You've got Turnbull and Taylor. They're the only two.
Right, we'll need to have a think about this now. So,
good question that though, isn't
yep.
it? Kind of ties everyone together. Fans of all teams can get involved. On that subject, John Robert McPhail says, Roger Hannah is wrong. I picked Lauren Shankland on your poll and I am a Celtic fan. You're an honest man, John Robert McPhail.
Mm-hmm.
What was that all about? Mm-hmm. Think no, he's the only one?
No, not at all. Simon anyone? Murray?
Nope.
This is good, I like this.
Nicky Clark?
Nope.
Mark O'Hara?
Nope.
My goodness.
Might need to move on soon.
Yep.
Who are the other goal scorer? If you were going down the goal scoring chart,
oh, Theo Bear.
Yes.
Against St Johnstone. Yeah, of
Theo
course.
Theo Bear against St Johnstone. Okay, we'll try and get the rest before the end of the show. Please keep sending your questions in fulltime@clyde1.com. They don't need to be as difficult as that, because the pundits aren't all as nerdy as Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller, so they can be easier. But send them in on that number, on that email address, sorry, fulltime@clyde1.com. Send them over. We were talking Matt O'Reilly and player of the year and all that sort of stuff. Let's hear from him, because he admits that links to Atletico Madrid did prove to be a distraction earlier in the season. However, he says he's done plenty of work to move beyond it.
Eventful, to be honest. It's been really fun. I've learned a lot, to be honest, just because, I don't know, when you're doing well, naturally there's more noise around you as well, so I've had to manage things on and off the pitch more, and I think that's made me grow quite a lot as a person. It was tough at first, just because it was something new. Like, you know, I'm sure if something like that was happening in the future, I'd be able to manage it better. I don't think I managed it badly. I just think when something like that happens, it's naturally there at the back of your mind. And I don't know, first few games were tough. Then I addressed it, did some work off the pitch with my friend who I speak with, and then kind of got back on track.
There we go. Fair play to him for admitting it, because players often don't. Oh no, I don't read this stuff, or I don't. But when it comes, if it's an actual bid, it goes beyond reading it. You know, it's your reality. You're living it. And he's had an impact, but he's moved beyond it.
Yeah, he strikes me as being quite a sort of level-headed young man, Matt O'Riley. I think I was surprised actually the decision to go and play for Denmark. I think the family. His sort of mother's side of the family, if you like. That's a bold decision for a young man who at the time didn't really speak Danish or anything, and it's not exactly, you know, he's not exactly going to walk into that Denmark team, but he took on that challenge and may well go to the Euros with him if it's a 26-man Denmark squad. So I think he's wise enough to know that the day is coming that he will get his big money move and he will get the big salary at the big European club. So he wasn't going to stamp his foot when he didn't get it in January. Might not come this summer. It may be next summer before it comes, Gordon. But if he continues to play the way he's played during his Celtic career, if it's not Atletico Madrid or Girona or whoever else was interested in him, then he'll go somewhere because he's a very good player.
I mean, it didn't look like it was weighing on his mind when he decided to chip a penalty at Ibrox with 50,000 out to get him. But yeah, listen, I suppose it was inevitable, Kenny, that it would have some sort of impact.
Yeah, and he was just over that wee blip at that moment in time. So I think it was April the 7th, I think. So he was just over it. I think, listen, you could tell he had such a wonderful first half of the season. You could tell there was a drop-off, you know. But I do think he got back on the horse pretty quickly and he started to perform well. But you know what? I actually do think it will come this summer. I think someone will come calling, whether it's from down the road, whether it's from another big league in Europe. I think the way he plays, I just think he can fit into so many teams. Left-sided, so elegant. Again, he's added goals to his game, something his manager wanted him to do this season, and he's done it.
Tyler is on the line. He's in the airport in Sydney, Australia, where it's 4:30 in the morning. Is that right, Tyler?
That's right, mate.
Honestly, the commitment to this cause is sensational. You've obviously got a delayed flight and you're desperate to pass the time, but that's fine. That's what we're here for. What are you thinking tonight?
Unfortunately, I've missed where you're up to because I've been going through security in regards to talking points. But I wanted to come on and just ask the panel what their thoughts are on Rangers making it through to the end of the season and winning the league. Because from what I see, the form's dropped off a bit. I think Celtic's picking up momentum. And I'm starting to think that maybe some players' heads aren't in anymore. There's talk of Lundstrom and potentially Barisic leaving, and if we heard about Golson and Tavernier as well, Saudi Arabia. So is that a factor?
What do you make of that? There's a couple there. If you think about, I mean, Barisic clearly wasn't meant to play much of a part towards the end of the season. Then he's had to be brought back in, and he started yesterday. There's a lot being said about John Lundstrom, reports coming out of Turkey that he is on his way there. Has his head dropped a bit? Conor Goldson's now been left out the team and was, you know, remained out of it yesterday. You seeing any of that?
I think, again, we watch the games every single week. There's been a drop-off in performance from Rangers as a team. Within that, like you say, Conor Goldson's been left out. This will be the first time that he's been left out in his Rangers career. It's been 6 seasons. You know, even like he's been rested or he's had injuries, but he's always came back in because he's been a mainstay on the right-hand side of that defence alongside Tavernier. So the fact that he's now been left out, that, and again, how he actually spoke, I think it was on a podcast last week, he actually probably knows himself he's not been at the same level. So you can see that there. John Lundstrom, I think, has been an incredible player, you know, and his game went up a lot of levels when Philippe Clement came in. You know, he did, again, in his final year of his contract, again, you can forgive him for doing what every player is entitled to do at this moment, which is now look where you're going to be at next year if you've been made aware that it's not going to be, or if you've decided it's not going to be at Rangers. But his performances have remained pretty high. I would say over the spell of the Ross County game, maybe even the first half of the Old Firm game and the Dundee game, not only John Lundstrom, I think a lot of the levels had went down on those nights. I thought he was pretty good yesterday, John Lundstrom. He looked like he was back to his energetic self. He was covering the ground. Again, he's doing the job that he's in there to do in that team. So he'll be a loss. You know, it's just going to be another one. I mean, I'm now thinking, when you're talking Conor Goldson's and James Taverner's and John Lundstrom's, by the way, a previous caller says Jack Butland could potentially go. These are guys that I would be thinking, they're the ones you wouldn't want to be replacing. They're guys that you would maybe want to be keeping there as a solid core. But if you're even talking about these guys moving on, how many players is Philippe Clement going to have to sign in the summer?
Tyler, where are you going?
Heading to Bali, mate.
Oh, nice. Is that like...
Yeah, nice. I mean, family there, so be good.
Then all right, it's a family holiday. Because that's kind of like party central for Australians, isn't it? You know the way like Scottish and
kinda,
people kinda, would go to Magaluf, yeah. You go to Bali, don't you?
Kind of, yeah.
Bit nicer, then to be fair.
Going back to Sydney after. I actually met Kenny in Sydney a few years ago. The supporter stuff.
Was that the Rangers Celtic game?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
You so I was saying, it was one of the 400 that was in that Sydney sports bar watching. It was 1-1 that night, wasn't it?
It was a great night, wasn't it?
Brilliant.
Honestly, we're just reuniting people all over the place.
Wonderful.
I was starting to wonder if Tyler's kind of across there and if he was going to be there that night, because myself and Graham Doran's got invited along to go and watch the old what was that? Must have been, it was about 11:30 kickoff, and there was like 400 Glaswegians descended on this sports bar in Glasgow to watch the Rangers Celtic game.
Enjoy Bali, Tyler. Thanks for phoning.
Cheers, guys.
Oh, I'm jealous of everybody that's going on holiday right now, I have to say. And I've been there, and what a place it is. Anyway, quickly on that teaser anymore.
What about Jamie McGrath?
So it's 10 players who've scored against a former club during the current season. They also must have scored for that club in the top flight. McGrath, no.
No.
Sean Kelly?
No.
No?
Alan Forrest?
No.
Marley Watkins?
Yes. Okay, we'll get the rest of the answer. Do you know what we've not done Monday night? Maybe there weren't many, or clearly there will be. We've not debated refereeing decisions from the weekend. And I think that's healthy. I don't think
Kenny
we have.
Kenny Miller's howler, 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not been debated, though. It should have been debated.
I don't think we have to be obsessed with it every week, but we've not done it yet. Let's do that next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on the home straight then with Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna. We are going to look at some of the talking points as far as disciplinary issues go from the weekend. We tend to do that on a Monday. Some Mondays it's wall to wall, 6:05, and you're battering down the phones. None of you are doing that. Maybe it wasn't such a busy weekend for that stuff after all. But we'll take a look. In the meantime, can you name 10 players who've scored against a former club during the current campaign, but they've also scored for that club in the top flight at some point? So like Marley Watkins has scored for Killie against Aberdeen, Greg Taylor against Kilmarnock, David Turnbull against Motherwell, Theo Bear against St Johnstone.
What about Matty Kennedy?
No. Yes, against Aberdeen. Sorry, yes.
Carey?
Yep, Graham Carey against Ross County.
Mandron?
Nope.
Martin Boyle?
No.
Bruce Anderson score against Aberdeen?
Nope.
Your man, Blair Spittle?
Yes, against Ross County. Well done. Only three to get. We'll try and get them before the end of the show. Speaking of Blair Spittle, speaking of Motherwell, see what we did there. That was probably the standout refereeing call of the weekend, purely because it's escalated. Stuart Kettlewell makes it a big deal as well, yeah, with his comments. The club have appealed the red card shown to Jack Vale for a challenge on Jack McKenzie. So that blows it up. I'm not saying it was the worst decision or anything, but it becomes the big talking point in that regard. What did you make of it?
It's funny, we're talking off air about this beforehand. I wasn't convinced it was a red card, but equally I'm not convinced Motherwell will win the appeal.
Yeah, I get that, because it's hard to win appeals. You have to show there's this like clear, yeah, refereeing error has taken place. But you think there has been?
Yeah, I do. Roger's just spelt out there perfectly. It isn't a red card. Jack Vale's got his eyes completely on the ball, and he's not even particularly high. But when you're now talking pointy contacts and you stop it and you still it and you see his foot's kind of in the thigh, the high thigh, kind of groin area, that's okay. Oh, well, that must be a... But no, because it's no went into tackle. He's just controlling the ball.
Well, he actually kicks the ball up the pitch. Well, there's the wider view.
So he's made contact with the ball, and then on the follow through, he's made contact with the player. It's no way it's a red card. Like every contact or every high contact, you have to look at it and it's an isolation. It's not a tackle. He's not went in hard tackling. He's went in high. He's actually just cleared the ball, you know. And then on the follow through again, a bit like what Jack Butland did to an extent in the game yesterday when he cleared
the ball. Well, that's
another
one. You think there's nothing in that?
No,
I'm getting lots of tweets about that one.
Not at all. Like this is we're now looking at no players making contact with the ball. By the way, Olasanya is running full force to try and close or to try and get to the ball before Jack Butland. Jack Butland's running full force out to clear the ball, and the two of them come together. Like, how's that even a free kick when Jack Butland's cleared the danger? That's his job. And it's Jack Vale wasn't doing, like, again, he's not went into that in any kind of aggression. All he's done is clear the ball, and then because the Aberdeen player's coming towards him, there is a contact. You know, that is not a red card. There's no way that it can. I know you go on the rules and things, but it doesn't matter. You've got to apply it properly. That's not a tackle. There's no way that's a red card.
Yeah, and I can't become a hypocrite and not do the devil's advocate thing just because it's Motherwell. And I feel like we do see a separation here of guys like you that have played the game because you're frustrated by that. But is it a case, though, that you are annoyed at the way the rule is rather than the fact that Aberdeen or whoever might look at when studs land on Jack McKenzie's thigh, that is endangering an opponent? That you can you not see how that case is made?
No, not at all. So, okay, flip it. Are you endangering yourself by going into a tackle that you should never, or going into a situation you're never ever going to get close to? Because Olesanya, Jack Butland must have cleared the ball, what?
Mm.
A second, 2 seconds before Olesanya? Jack Vale's cleared the ball and then ran into the play. The players then ran into it. Very similar to the Yang red card at Tynecastle. You know, like, you're just because one player's made a contact with that doesn't mean to say you're endangering the opponent.
But back to what I said, though, then about the, you know, you haven't played and put your whole life into it and how you would like those situations to play out, because Yang's was given as red.
Yep.
Whether we like it or not, should we accept that that is the standard? So Jack Vale is going to get sent off and Yang is going to get sent off.
I don't think we can accept that. By the way, that sending off, which, when you apply the law, like, by the way, I'm forget the law. I don't think he's endangering an opponent. End of story. But that decision could affect a top six, could affect a team going to a semi-final or a final. It could affect a league by applying a law that, or a, like, words on a bit of paper that you're trying to put all these situations into one.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. You can't do it. It's as simple as that. That is not, there's no way that that's a red card.
I see the frustration from both sides of that, Roger. Like, guys like Kenny are always going to think about those challenges having been in them and think, like, why are you getting sent off for that? I also see the other side where if it is written on paper, you can make them fit. Can make them fit the criteria for a red card.
The Vale one was one of those. If Craig Napier had flashed a yellow card and a free kick for Aberdeen, no one would have batted an eyelid. There was nobody screaming for Jack Vale to be sent off, but he's been sent off. And if you look at the rule, Gordon, and you look at the decision Craig Napier has made, I think it's a difficult argument for Motherwell to get him off.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realise we were so close to the end of the show. We can do that again tomorrow if there's something you want to pick us up on. 10 players who've scored against a former club during the current campaign. They also must have scored for that club in the top flight at some point. Marley Watkins has scored against Aberdeen, Greg Taylor against Killie, Turnbull against Motherwell, Graham Carey's done it, Theo Bear, Blair Spittle, Matty Kennedy, 3 to get.
What about Greg Kilty?
Nope.
No.
McGee.
Jordan McGee has scored against Hearts. That is a brilliant shout from you, Kenny Miller.
Through the Dundee defenders. What about Shaughnessy?
No, what about someone who used to be at St Mirren and has scored against them? And what about someone who's currently at St Mirren but scored against a former club?
Alec Gogic?
Yes, Alec Gogic scored Eamon against Brophy. Hibs. Nope. Now at Killie, scored against St Mirren.
Lions.
Brad Lions. Thank you, Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna. And thank you, most of all, the number of you that get in touch from just down the road to Sydney Departures Lounge on the way to Bali. An incredible level of support. As always, we're back tomorrow at 6 o'clock and you can win tickets to Clyde One Live with Callum Nix. So stay right there and we'll be back at 6 tomorrow.